morning. As many of you can tell, I am not Pastor Carl. Shocker! This morning, I want to talk with you guys about the idea of steadfast faith. You see, over the last couple of weeks and months, this word steadfast has been coming up in my life. And we've been doing the Bible reading. I don't know if you're a part of that, but if you're not, you can still access that. And we as a staff talk about it on Tuesdays. And a few weeks ago, this word steadfast came up again. Steadfast faith. And it reminded me of a verse from Psalms 112 that we'll read together this morning in verse 7. And it says, "They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And some translations say they will have no fear of evil tidings or evil doings. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting the Lord. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I've definitely had some fear of bad news before. Fear of evil tidings. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. All right, well then, what does steadfast mean? So I went to the dictionary, as we do, to try to figure out what does it mean to be steadfast. And I'll have the guys pull up what the dictionary refers to steadfast as. Steadfast is firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change, firm in belief. Do you want that kind of faith? Faith that is not subject to change? Faith that is not immovable, or that is immovable, that doesn't change, firm in belief? I know I want that type of faith. Yet, if you're anything like me, there have been seasons in your life where you've kind of been smacked out of nowhere. Circumstances have happened, and you're overwhelmed. You see, probably about a year or so ago, Russell and I, my husband, we sat here and Pastor Carl interviewed us about a testimony, a time in our life where we were really overwhelmed with life. You see, in 2017, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. We were just entering our second year of marriage, 23 and 25. When we first got married, we thought, you know, the fairy tale. You get married and you live happily ever after and nothing could ever touch you. Well, that was not the case for us. I'm sure if you guys have lived, that hasn't necessarily been the case for you either. We got married and Russell got diagnosed with cancer. And that wasn't the only thing that happened that year. I think that would have been enough, right? You watch your spouse struggle through health, and you watch them downgrade through chemo, and then you have surgeries and other things. But that wasn't the only dreadful thing that year. We had family members go through major surgeries. We had other family members get diagnosed with cancer themselves. We had people in our lives going through mental and spiritual and physical battles. We had family friends who passed away, and we sat there thinking, where is the good in this? One smack after the other, after the other, after the other. But we're Christians. Nothing can touch us, right? Life is supposed to be good when we're Christians. Nothing bad can happen. Yet we live in a world that is outside of our control. We live in a world that is broken, in a sinful world. And things happen that we have no control over. You see, Russell and I lived in that year, a year outside of our control. We couldn't do anything. And we looked for where God was in the midst of all of the chaos. And God was with us. And I wonder if any of you have been in chaos before, wondering, but where is the good? Where is God in the midst of all of these unknown and uncontrollable things? And it reminds me of Joseph in the Bible. If you've never read the story of Joseph, I really encourage you to go back and read it. You can find it in Genesis 37 through 50. And Joseph lived a life, and there were so many things that happened to him outside of his control. See, Joseph was the favorite son. If I could just pause here for a second, give you a little bit of parenting advice. Didn't work out well for Joseph that he was the favorite son. So if you're a parent, don't choose favorites. Probably won't work out well. You see, Joseph was the favorite son, and he was connected to God. And he got a dream from God. He was excited about this dream. God spoke to him. And he ran to his brothers and his fathers, and he said, "Listen what God said." And in this dream, his brothers and his family were going to bow down to him. Now you can imagine, these brothers already see that Joseph is the favorite. And now they're being told, "And oh, by the way, you're going to bow down to me." I don't think they took that very well. In fact, scripture shows us they did not take that very well. They were jealous, and it seems like that was just the last straw for them. So they took matters into their own hands. They band together, and they sold Joseph into slavery. And then they took his cloak, and they made it look like he was mauled by an animal and brought it back to his father and made it so that he was dead to his family. He no longer existed. Where is God in that? Joseph, being sold into slavery, gets sent off. But scripture shows us where the Lord was in that. When we go back into Genesis 39, verse 2, we see where God is. "The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master." So even though Joseph, being in a situation that he had no control over, he couldn't control that he was the favorite son, he couldn't control that his brothers were jealous, he couldn't control that they captured him and sent him off into slavery, he still looked for where God was. And the Lord was with him. Are you looking for where God is? When situations happen outside your control, when you feel like the rug is just taken from underneath your feet, when you don't know which way is up, because God is still there with you. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means that he is steadfast. And if he is steadfast, then his love for you is steadfast. It's unchangeable, immovable. Firm. And I believe that for each and every one of you, that there is nothing that we can do that will separate us from the love that God has for us, because his scripture says so. So Joseph, being sent off into slavery, finds himself at Potiphar's house. And it says that he prospered there. He looked for where God was. And he prospered. And I can imagine him thinking, though, "Wait a minute, I had a dream that I was going to be in a position of authority at some point, and my brothers were going to bow down to me, but now I'm a slave. How is this all going to work out? How is this possible?" So he becomes a good servant to his master, right? And Potiphar gives him authority over everything except his wife. Well, Potiphar's wife had some thoughts about that. And as she watched Joseph around the house, she realized, "Joseph, you're kind of handsome. I like the way you look." So she decided she was going to take on this challenge. She was going to tempt Joseph. Right? And Joseph could have said, "Well, poof, there goes God's promises for my life. Why don't I just fall into temptation? Why don't I just pursue the things that are coming at me?" But instead, he clung to the Lord. And Potiphar's wife made longing eyes at him and tried to convince him to come and lie with her. And he said to her, "How do I do great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, Joseph continued to deny Potiphar's wife. Well, again, Potiphar's wife didn't like that, so she took matters into her own hands, and she framed him. She made it look like he had lied with her, and there was punishment for that. So Potiphar came in, and he sent Joseph to prison. So now Joseph is in a position where he's serving punishment for things that he didn't do. And I can imagine him sitting there thinking, where is the good? I'm pursuing God. God is with me. And yet, my life feels like it's on a downward trajectory. One smack after the other after the other. Have you ever been there? One smack after the other. Where is the good? Where was God in the midst of all of this? Again, we see in Scripture, we go back to Genesis 39, 21, where God was. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. God is constant. I wonder if when we get into seasons, we forget to look where God is and we focus on where God isn't. We focus on the chaos that ensues around us. We focus on the circumstances around us. You know, when Russell and I were going through his journey, it was so easy to focus on what the doctors were saying, to focus on one smack after the other after the other. Yet God is always with us. Are you willing to find him? Are you willing to look for him, to look for the good? It seems like Joseph has steadfast faith here, right? While his life is going down, he's still saying, "But Lord, you are good." And the Lord continues to be with him and prosper him. And I think it's interesting because Scripture says he's prospering, right, and has favor, yet from the outside, that doesn't look like what's going on. Yet God is still there. So I'll continue to kind of give you a streamline of Joseph's story, but again, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to go back and read it for yourselves because there's a lot of details that we've kind of skimmed through this morning. But Joseph goes to prison, and while he's in prison, he continues to use the gifts that God has given him. You see, God gave him a dream, and he gave him the ability to interpret dreams. So while he's in prison, there are prisoners who are having dreams. And there is Joseph interpreting these dreams. And one day, Pharaoh has a dream. And no one can interpret it. No one but Joseph. So they call Joseph up, and Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. You see, there was a famine that was going to come. And Joseph knew what was going to happen, and how to prepare for this famine. And Pharaoh saw that in Joseph. And so what did he do? He put him in a position of authority. He said, "God speaks to you. You know what to do. Take over preparing for this famine." Wow. Out of nowhere, hope for this promise that God had given him. I can't imagine being in prison. I can't imagine the mental struggle that might come with that, the battle that might come with that. And then out of nowhere, hope on the horizon. And in this position, As the famines come, people are going to come to Joseph, and Joseph is going to portion off some food for people so that the people can continue to sustain themselves. And one day, who comes before Joseph but his brothers? His brothers stand before Joseph, and they bow down before him. God's promise fulfilled. God wants to fulfill the promises in your life. He has spoken things into you because he values you. He knows you, and you are loved by him. And so Joseph, walking into fulfillment of God's promises, right? The thing that I like about this is that when Joseph's brothers and family are in front of him, it actually starts to restore their family. So God working all things for his glory. And Joseph tells his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. Have you been in a place where you felt like something was intended for evil? But God is going to use it for good. You see, I firmly believe that God uses all things for his glory. I believe that when Russell and I went through that crazy year, that he used every step of that journey for his glory. You see, not only did our faith get rooted deeper during that year, our family of believers got rooted deeper that year. We came together, we prayed, we sought the Lord. Our faith became steadfast. And maybe you're in a season of growing that steadfast faith. And it's hard. But God is with you. And he will never leave you. So let's talk through a little bit of what we've learned so far. One, God's plan is not linear. You see, for Russell and I, we thought, oh, you get married, everything's wonderful after that. You have no trouble buying a house, you have no trouble having a family, work is wonderful, all of these things, right? But that's not how God worked in our life. Instead, because of the situation that Russell had gone through, we were unsure if we were going to be able to have a family. And you see, in 2017, Russell had a dream while he was going through cancer that he was going to have a little girl. And I questioned that because after Russell was healed from cancer, we continued to live life, and I didn't see that promise come. In fact, I lost sight of that promise. I doubted it was possible. I lived in fear of the unknown. I lived in fear of the what ifs. I thought, maybe this isn't for us. Maybe God didn't really promise that to us. I don't know. But God follows through with his promises. And now we have a one-year-old daughter who is a testimony of God's promises in our life, amen. God's faithfulness in our life. And I stand before you this morning, 5.5 months pregnant with our second child on the way. Can I tell you, our God heals. You see, I thought, well, he's healed from cancer. That's enough. No, God has more for you. I thought, well, we had one kid. That's enough of a miracle. No, God has more for you. He is firm, immovable, steadfast, and he follows through with his promises. His love for you is immovable. And that's how Russell and I felt. And so then we look at Joseph's plan or Joseph's life, and that doesn't look like that was linear either, right? He went from having a position in his family to becoming a slave to becoming a prisoner, and his life just kept going down. Yet, at the same time, he had this promise that he was trying to live by. And in my head, I would think, if the end goal is a position of authority, that there would be some stepping stones to get to that. I think the last way I would think about getting to a position of authority is through slavery and prison. Yet God is there. So then the second thing that we learn this morning is that God works all things for his good. You see, when we go through situations and scenarios that are outside of our control, we have testimonies about God's faithfulness that we can share with other people. And then when they go through things that are outside of their control, they have people in their life who can encourage them and point them to where God is. So whether you're in a season right now where you feel like you're drowning and you don't know what way is up and you're barely keeping your head above water, or maybe you've already lived through a season of that, both of you can help each other out. Because our Bible talks about a body of believers, a family of believers who are supposed to come together and encourage each other.
Amen.
Amen. And at the end of Joseph's part here, he told his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." He works all things for his good. Lastly, what we learn this morning is that God follows through with his promises. We see that in Joseph's story with this dream and the restoration of his family. Russell and I got to see that personally in our life. And here's the hard thing about Joseph, though, is that when he was given those dreams, he was 13. It wasn't until he was 30 years old that those were fulfilled. Are you in the midst of 13 and 30 right now, where God has given you promises and you're unsure where he is in it? He always follows through with his promises. And so I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you are, no matter what season you're in, that God is with you if you're willing to look for him. Well, really, whether or not you're willing to look for him, he's with you. But are you willing to find the good? Are you willing to find God in the midst of the storm? Because I can tell you, a few years ago, I had a vision because I was going through something in my life and I just felt like chaos all around me. And the Lord showed me that I was in the middle of this like wind turbine, and it felt like a hurricane. I could feel the power of the wind spinning around me like I was in the middle of a tornado. And there in the middle of the chaos was Jesus. And there I was staring at him. And I could feel the wind. I knew that there was stuff going on around me, but I knew as long as I looked at him, I wouldn't get sucked into it. But I knew the minute I took my eyes off of him that I was going to get sucked into this turbine, this wind, this tornado of things. And I wonder if you feel that way. You feel like you're getting spun around and you just need to hold firm on something. That something is Jesus. While we hold on to Jesus, it doesn't change our circumstances. Joseph still had to go through all of these things. Russell and I still had to go through all of these things, yet God was with us. And so when you go through things, my encouragement to you is to bring God with you, because it gives you strength. It gives you peace. It gives you access to the authority that we have in Christ. You see, when we become part of God's family, we walk in authority with Christ. And there is power in prayer. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered him. He found favor with him, even in the midst of all these things outside of his control. And that's not special to just Joseph. God wants to do that in your life too. He wants to be with you in the midst of anything that's going on. Maybe it's a coworker at work that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a promise. Maybe it's a family dynamic. There are so many things in our life that are outside of our control. But God is with you, and he loves you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. If you guys would just stand with me so I can pray over you this morning. And I just want to challenge you that as I pray over you, if you feel like anything this morning has touched you, if you feel like there's anything you need to release to God, if you feel like there is a promise that God made you and you've lost complete hope in it and you need restoration of that vision, if you would just hold your hands open this morning as we pray, as an act to say, God, I see you. I see you in my life. God, I want you in my life. Or even, God, I want to see you in my life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. You are steadfast. Lord, you are the same. And when life gets wild and crazy and things come out of the woodwork that we just don't even know, Lord, you are still the same. Your love for us is unchanging, and there is nothing that we can do or be a part of that can separate us from your love. So this morning, Lord, I ask that your Spirit would just come upon us, Lord. Lord, would we lay the things down to you that we need to lay down? Would we give you access to the areas of our life that you need access to? Would we take steps of faith to continue to look for you? We pray all of these wonderful things in your name, Jesus. Amen.